The Money Show. Business Unusual.
This Business Unusual brought to you by FNB, introducing the innovative 48-hour cash accelerator investment account. It's more than just banking to FNB. That's why they help. Now, you love the internet and you probably can't imagine the world without it, but it is also a scary and a dark place. And I should be a little bit more apprehensive about tonight's Business Unusual, but I'm feeling quietly confident I can weather the storm. Colin Cullis?
Well, Bruce, but,
there we are. That microphone over there. Yep, that one. So, that one. Yes, that one.
So, Bruce, on the back of you mentioning Alphabay last week, we received a message, and on the basis of that, I thought I better do something on the dark web. Here's what we received.
We are the Knights of Day, and set you the task to find the meaning of the visible web, the deep web, the dark web, and Tor. If you fail to do so, we will mess with all the settings for your Siri.
So they sound kind of serious.
It's like Darth Vader with a speech impediment.
Yeah, so okay, that is just a little bit of silliness, but that's kind of what you associate with a dark web. And not wanting to cause any
Siri,
drama.
Yeah. Should I be nervous of the dark web? Let's see what Siri says.
I can't answer that.
Siri's scared. And yeah. They're threatening to mess with my Siri settings, so we're in all kinds of trouble.
But they did set you the task. So these four things. They said the visible web, they said the deep web, they said the dark web, and they said Tor. So let's start with those ones, and then you'll see how this Alphabay and Hansa fits in with the whole thing. So the visible
now, web. Again, what is the context of Alphabay and Hansa? Just for people who might have missed the biggest news story from the dark web last week, Alphabay and Hansa have been closed down. These are two big, dangerous, poisonous sites on the dark web where guns can be exchanged, sex can be sold, people can be sold, all such kinds of underhand activities can happen. And finally, global law enforcement got their act together to get these places shut down.
That's exactly right. Now, and I'll talk more about them and the extent of what they actually do have and you know, how the war is going on that particular one. But let's start with things that we do know. So when we talk about the web generally, and there's the internet, which is the means for moving messages about for all sorts of things, and then the web are sites, things that you can visit. The visible web, about 14 billion pages currently available, and these are indexed. So you go to a search engine, it says this is a publicly available page. I know where it is. You can find it quite easily. And just for some context there, you were talking about 1,900 days. Were you to try and view each of those pages just for a second each, you'd be 400 years before you get to the current 14 billion. And considering the internet is only about 20 years old, you will never catch up.
Exactly.
And here's where it really starts getting a bit eye-watering, because the deep web is the non-index web. Nothing nefarious about it. It's just sites that aren't public. So your current Facebook pages where you store, well, let me not say yours, I don't know if you use Facebook too much, but where you'll store your pictures and your personal documents that you keep in the cloud, anything that you need a password to get access to, i.e. it's your own cloud storage, etc., that's part of the deep web.
Okay.
And the estimation, not that people can quantify it exactly, but the estimation is that it's 500 times the size of the visible web. So there's some context for you. And given how almost everything we do these days generates some or other online record of what we were doing, that is growing really, really quickly. And the dark web is characterized by a part of the internet that you can access only with special software. And that software, called the Onion Router, or TOR, Tor, was created sort of in the mid-90s by the U.S. Navy. Very, very legitimate reason for doing it. So much like the internet itself, created by the military, looking to be more efficient in disseminating information to its various forces, the dark web and this Tor browser was created so that the military could send messages securely, not having to worry about people intercepting them as they move through public services, which is what the internet is created about. So they created in the mid-90s, and it was released pretty much to everybody in 2004, which you might think is very nice of them, or a clever thing, because you see, the more people using it, the more your message gets mixed up with everybody else's message, the less likely your messages will be intercepted. Not that intercepting a message is very easy, and this is where it gets a little technical, so I'll see if I can explain simply. When you go from your machine and you want to connect to another web site, the machine uses your IP address and it knows the destination or the IP address of the other machine. It sends the request across the internet, and each of the servers that receives that information says, oh, you're looking for that website, sure, I'll send you on your way, and it directs them there. And then once it's got the information, it sends it back. anybody could intercept that, and so that's pretty much how online tracking works. The Tor browser works differently by sending that to multiple destinations, but encrypting it so that only the next destination is visible or can be unencrypted. That's probably a bit over a lot of people's heads, so I'll describe it this way. Take a letter, write your note inside, seal the letter and put on an address. Then put that sealed letter inside another envelope, put a different address on it and seal it. Do that again a couple of times and send your letter. The person receiving your letter only gets to open the original letter. So all they'll see is another letter inside with an address, and they forward it onto that address. You do that a couple of times, and anybody who happens to intercept it will only know where it's going next and where it came from, but not what its original origin was or what its final destination is. You've effectively, you know, made yourself completely anonymous. And the point for a lot of people who use it very legitimately is simply to say they want to ensure that they can visit the web anonymously, privately. If you're in a country that is very repressive, or you're very mindful of somebody trying to track you down while you're doing some work, you know, investigations, etc., then this is a good way to make sure nobody's going to be looking and seeing what you're doing. In fact, quite a lot of media companies actually maintain these secure drop boxes on the dark web so that whistleblowers and those wanting to give them information, leak information, as it were, can do so with a much greater degree of security, knowing that no one's going to get access to that. But by the same token, people can certainly use it for all the very wrong reasons, and this is where these sort of marketplaces like Alphabay, the original one was Silk Road, it got shut down in 2013, and so your reference to 3 years ago, well, Alphabay was started around about the same time. And you know what? It's Alphabay. Last week we were talking Alibaba. Alphabay does not work a million ways differently from a normal online marketplace. In fact, in order to avoid being scammed on the dark web, they actually sought to try and ensure that people weren't scammed. So you would, when you make a payment, I register on the website, I put my money down to say I want to buy something from you. You supply the goods. Only when I'm satisfied you supply me the correct goods does Alphabay then release it. So in that respect, you'd kind of think, okay, it was a legitimate business. Of course, they were selling things that they weren't supposed to, and very little justification can be made when somebody's trying to sell you dodgy stuff. And in some respects, it's the very nature of, you know, no honor among thieves that helps regulate the dark web, because the likelihood of you being scammed is as good as you actually getting what you're looking for. And you're very unlikely to go walking down to your local police station and say, I wish to report a crime. Somebody on the dark web didn't sell me the illegal thing I tried to buy. So in that respect, I'm not looking to try and make the dark web sound like a good place, and certainly not a place where you go and try and buy things or download things, because you're as likely to get into all sorts of trouble, particularly when you don't know what you're doing. But I do want to sort of change the single message that was created to say that the dark web should be something that we should simply shut down. And it's true that, albeit that this was a significant breakthrough for the authorities, and it required, you know, many of them right around the world to collaborate in order to achieve this, none of them are calling for the entire thing to be shut down, in part because, as you know, the authorities are part of the ones running it. They still fund the actual Tor project that allows this all to happen. So let me give you a little bit more about this actual guy and how they wind up bringing it down. 26-year-old Canadian guy living in Thailand. And because it was so big, and they suspect maybe 400,000 accounts active on the Alphabay at its peak, with somewhere in the region of $600,000 to $800,000 worth of trade happening every day, and him and his partners taking a cut of that. That's kind of how the site operated. So he's amassing a fair bit of wealth. He's living a good lifestyle, gets a little bit sloppy. And this is usually how most of the people operating in these spheres get caught. Because as I said, the networks themselves are pretty secure. That's not to say there aren't hackers who will try and do the very thing that you try to cover yourself for. But he remained relatively secure in that regard, but he slipped up for making it obvious for how people could track him down. In the end, it was Hotmail email address that finally got hold of him. After his arrest, and I suppose this goes some degree to say he kind of realized what he was in for, he wound up committing suicide while still in a jail cell in Thailand. And that because the previous person, the guy, as I mentioned, who had been found guilty as being the ringleader for Silk Road, he's sitting with a life sentence in jail, no opportunity for parole. But here's where the authorities were particularly clever. Prior to them actually making the busts for Alphabay, Dutch police had managed to take over the administration of a marketplace run there called Hansa. And after they sort of shut down the Alphabet, they wanted to see how many of the accounts they'd see move across to Hansa and then collect that information. And they supposedly have over 10,000 accounts now that they can track that were operating between the two. And depending on what it was they were trying to sell or what was bought, the authorities, given the huge haul they'll have from these two sites, will have quite a few years worth of prosecutions that will most likely lead to successful prosecutions, which should see a lot of people really thinking twice before thinking this is the best use of the dark web. Although I dare say, given the nature of who is willing to try this, there will be others that will come along and they probably will, you know, continue to survive.
Can we refer a couple of 100,000 emails to the same authorities to see whether or not they might be able to find anything of prosecutorial value in our emails, I wonder.
Indeed, and that's the kind of the duality about why sometimes, I suppose the best comparison to use here is, if you knew nothing about cars and you heard about road accident deaths, you'd simply say, get rid of cars. Once you understand, you know, what cars or transport actually is useful for, you kind of get a different opinion. Likewise with a cell phone and terrorism, potentially, you understand that there's a problem in that it can facilitate it, but you can't really just say, hey, you don't blame the tool because of how it's been used. And the dark web certainly is one of those where it's not, you know, write it off as it's been a bad place.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's the tool using the tool. Colin Cullis, thank you very much indeed. Colin Cullis with Business Unusual.